Well, it is a terrific pleasure to be here tonight with Terry and all of you. It's a pleasure to be here and know that the Lord is in this place. Amen. And if one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, my goodness, what could this number do? But we've got to be together. In John chapter 15, now I'm going to be reading to you from the NIV, just because that's something that some people can hear a little better and understand. But all the scripture I have memorized is from the KJV, so you'll hear me if I'm talking scripture. I'll end up quoting from the King James. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Now, let me stop there just a second. That's just the first verse. I am the true there means as not concealing, not hiding. And the word vine there means coiling about a support, the Godhead. So he is the non-concealing, the true vine, attached around something that's solid. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Make a little note, the word prunes there means to clean. He cleans so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now there's a reason to say hallelujah. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown to the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now I'm going to stop right there. If I get to the love part, I'll go on to verses 9 through 17. But I just want to just deal right now with those first 8 verses in John chapter 15. Very important verses. There are things in there that I think that you've probably read over and may not have latched on to. Certainly were for me. You see, what do I, or what do you, attach yourselves to? Or better yet, to what are we attached? Everyone is attached to a person, a philosophy, a culture, a belief, or something. Everyone is. By being attached to something, I am a part of it. By being attached to something, I am a part of it. By being attached to something, I am what? A part of it. Mm-hmm. A part. Whatever it may be, I'm a part of it. I take on the very nature I have through my attachment. You know, the scripture says that bad company corrupts morals. You take on the very nature through an attachment. I was born into a family, a culture, a country, a belief system, and so were you and everybody else. One of the challenges in being a part of the vine is we were grafted in, and therefore the new environment sometimes seems a little strange, uncomfortable. We don't know the landscape, the territory, real well. Now, I'm going to speak very quietly to you. I want you to hear the words. It's very important. What I am telling you tonight will help you understand how to get prayers you have been praying for a long time answered. You got loved ones you want to see saved, healed, delivered? Listen very closely. Very closely. This came to me from the Lord. We're a part of something. Jesus said He is the vine, and I, as a believer, am a branch of the Jesus vine. The Jesus vine. Think about that. What are you? You're a branch of the Jesus vine. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. How is that? As long as I remain attached to the Jesus vine, then I am a part of the Jesus vine. I will have the characteristics of the Jesus vine since I am a Jesus vine branch. Make sense? A vine branch gets its life from the vine through the small tubes. You know, go back to your biology classes, the little xylem and phloem tubes, you know, the water comes up and the other goes down and all that happens. It moves around and around and then the vine grows. How? By attachment. That attachment brings sustenance, brings life, brings nourishment from the soil, those little tubes. They go clear down to the roots, and the roots get in there, and they bring up all the minerals and everything that's needed, and the vine grows. Now, every branch has a natural function. You know what that function is? It's to grow. Are you a branch? What's your natural function? Your natural function is to grow. Not independently. You can't grow independently, because if you were cut off from the vine, you would be getting no more nourishment. You would get no more sustenance. You would wither and die. So what you do is you grow and you add leaves, and that creates more energy for the vine. You know, growth multiplies and magnifies efforts. Did you know that? How many people here, I wonder, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you in the last month, in love, not in thumping somebody over the head, in love, gave the gospel to somebody, the good news? And how many times have you done it in the last month? Very important. I'll get to that. Because a natural branch grows and it provides energy more to the whole plant, and growth multiplies and magnifies efforts. If you had 10 people here who every week when they came with somebody new that they had given the gospel to. Now, nobody comes to Christ unless the Father draws them, the Scripture says. So if you're one of those people who thinks, well, I witnessed and they didn't accept Jesus, so I failed. Not so. You were never told to do anything more than to give out the gospel, to let the power of God and the anointing flow through you. That's all you were told to do. The Scripture says that the drawing is the Father's job, and they accept because of what the Father does in interacting with them. But how can they hear unless someone tells them? And if we are the body of Christ, if we are the branches of the true vine, the Jesus vine, then we are the ones. We're His body. I don't think a lot of people get the part about we're His body in that fashion. They go, oh yeah, we're the church, we're the body of Christ. No, we are His hands, His feet. We are the body of Christ. So the vine grows out, little leaves come out, and then fruit starts to grow. Now then, you see, the vine as well as fruit are part of the reproduction of the vine. Have you ever noticed that fruit has all the nourishment around the seeds that it needs to cause the seeds to be healthy and to grow? Now comes the gardener. Now, I'm not going to tell you about the gardener the way you may have heard about the gardener. Because I'm going to tell you that some of you heard that the gardener comes and he prunes and you're going, that's right, he's going to lop it off, throw them in the fire, and they're going to just get their just desserts. I'm going to explain it to you another way. There's another way to see that. Not that that way couldn't be a legitimate way. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's another way to see it. The gardener dresses the vine to keep it healthy and productive. So what the gardener prunes is not you from the vine, but what's in you that needs to be pruned so you can be healthy and bear fruit. You get that? Now, I know, I've heard sermons that say, boy, you better just get out there and get it done, because if you don't, you're just going to be burned in the fire. That's not my sermon tonight. My sermon tonight is that the gardener, the Father, comes and he prunes, he cleans from you. There's a story I like to tell about an evangelist friend of mine who was, he was speaking at a two-week revival that lasted for 6-8 months. And all sorts of interesting things happened. As a matter of fact, one Baptist church sent their choir over one night to provide them with special music. And then they went back, and their pastor the next day, because it was a Saturday night, the pastor the next day was just madder than a hornet, because they all came back filled with the Holy Ghost. So he came on Monday night and he was gonna set it straight. So he came on Monday night. And so it just happened that the sermon that night was on being filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's flipping back and forth through his Bible, and he's following what the evangelist is saying. He's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He runs up front and he says, I want it. So they became a Baptist church. But you see, God will work sovereignly, but sovereignly through you. Now, he'll work sovereignly without you. What does the scripture say? He'll make even the rocks cry out. You know, I mean, people talk about making a donkey. I like to make it sound nice, just in case people are offended. If he can make a donkey speak, and we think, oh, how is that? Well, hey, if he can make a rock cry out, and we know that he can because he told Cain that the soil was crying out with the blood of Abel. There are many things that we just don't fathom or understand. But now back to the vine and the branches, the Jesus vine. And we're all Jesus vine branch people. And the gardener comes along, and the gardener is cleaning us up. So what happened was, when this guy was having a revival, I better finish that story. When he was having a revival, this couple came, and the guy was, they were singing in this nightclub. And they were living together, this gal that was the singer, and the gal that was the head of the band, and all this. So they came, and they had a lot of other things in their life that just weren't right. Well, the one night, one of them received Christ, and the next night, the other one received Christ. Well, when the second one did, and they left, everybody starts going, oh, my, we got to tell them they can't live together. We got to tell them they got to clean up their lives. We got to tell them this, we got to tell them that. And boy, that evangelist was on top of it. He said, leave them alone. Don't you trust the Holy Spirit? Don't you trust God to be God? Oh, let me tell you, that was like on a Monday and a Tuesday night. On Friday, they came in, and they were just bawling like little children. They said, we want to testify. They go, testify about what? You know, the joy of the Lord's in there, yeah. But he said, no, let him testify. So they got up, and they said, we're crying because he moved out today because God just wouldn't let us stay like we are. You know, we need to make sure that there's room in the garden in which the vine or attached tree grows, for the Father to do his work, for the Holy Spirit to do his work, and for the Son to do his work. We've gone through times in church history where the church wanted to be the Father, tried to be the Father, the church tried to be the Son, and now in some cases the church is trying to be the Holy Spirit. We need to be the body of Christ. Let the Spirit work through us. Please hear me, I am not demeaning that at all. But I'm saying we've got to understand the Spirit. So that the Father comes along according to Jesus and says he prunes, he cleans the non-productive and dead portions. Do any of you have non-productive and dead portions in you that are still there and you can't figure out what's going on? And you've tried for years and years and years to get rid of them. Anybody had that difficulty? Tried for years and years and years just to get it out of there and it's still there. You say, I've tried. The scripture says, the Father does it. Turn it. Jesus said, what? Cast your cares on him. For he cares for you. Now let me tear that apart a second. Cast your care, those things that worry you, agitate you, whatever, over on him, because he takes your cares for you. Not that he loves you. If it meant he loves you, he would have said, for he loves you. You know, there's nothing I enjoy more than taking a care off of my life. You know, if I see there's something that's causing her care, I want to remove it because I love her. And I don't want her to be going through that. That's what God wants to do for us. If you're going to clean up your own life, why do you need Jesus? If you're not a new creature, are we not new creatures? All things become new. How many times have you witnessed to somebody or talked to them about the Lord and they said, well, one day I'll get myself cleaned up and then I'll be a Christian? Not going to happen. If we could do it, there would have been no reason for Jesus. There would have been no reason for the vine. The Jesus vine would have had no function. God's into function. The Jesus vine would have had no function. Because it would have been the David vine, or the Amanda vine, or the Paul vine, or the Terry vine, or the Carol vine. And they've all had their little vines. But have you ever seen that in the body of Christ? Everybody's got their own little vine going there. I am such a good vine for the Lord. You weren't called to be a vine. You were called to be a branch of the good vine. Am I making sense to you? Are you feeling a little relief?
Yes.
Are you feeling just, I hope you're feeling a little relief, because one of the things that the Holy Spirit said to me that I was to give you tonight was relief. How do you spell relief? J-E-S-U-S. Not R-O-L-A-I-D-S. J-E-S-U-S. That's how you spell relief. He said, I will send a comforter. I've been trying to comfort myself, but I just can't get any comfort. You're not the comforter. You're a branch on the Jesus vine. And if you're a branch on the Jesus vine, you get a comforter. You get a gardener who comes and helps clean out those things that you spent all your energy on, which you couldn't do in the first place. How many times have you talked to people who said, I came off of drugs, it was God just did it. I accepted Jesus and bang. They couldn't do it. Let God be God and you be you. But the you be is not the you was, because the you be is the new you. Because you are a new creature, behold, all things became new. The word sozo in Greek means saved, healed, and delivered equally. Now, does that mean that we don't have some work to do I mean, Terry's taught you some great stuff about deliverance. I know. I've sat and listened to him. But what is that? That's the Holy Spirit working through you, working through the branch that's attached. How do you get to be a, I hate to use this term, better Christian? Let's just say a healthier, more functional, more productive Christian. You just stick to the vine. Jesus was called to pray for a gal. A young gal, she's dead. Jesus goes in the room and everybody's in there. You know, the mourners have already arrived. You know, they had paid mourners. They go in, oh, oh, you know. And so they're all in there. You know, oh, you know, you had the alto mourners, you had the soprano mourners, you had the tenor mourners. You know, you had them all there. And so what happens? Jesus runs them all out, doesn't he? And then Jesus prays to the Father, doesn't he? And then you know what Jesus does? What do you think Jesus does? As soon as he finishes prayer, what does Jesus do? Now, you'll have to look this up. I'm not going to give you chapter or verse because you all have been around long enough. If you don't know where it is, invest a little time to find it. Okay? It says, and Jesus turned to her. It's in there. Read it. You know what that means? He wasn't looking at the problem. Now, how many of us have been in there going, oh, she's dead? I was telling David down here on the way coming down here that I had a woman die in one of my services. Second row, straight in front of the pulpit, gone. Getting cold. A couple people knew what to do that had that seminar, training seminar to Terry's. Went over. Spoke life back to that woman. She sat back up, finished service, went home. She was dead. I didn't go down. I didn't touch her. You know, it's a little bit like, this is a little bit like Reinhard Bonnke. You know, he's upstairs preaching. Everybody says, well, Bonnke was preaching. This guy came back to life. He didn't know the guy was there because they were hiding him downstairs because they thought if the woman took her husband's body into the service, it'd scare everybody, and they all run out the windows and doors. And that sort of thing because he was already embalmed. You know, you go, well, you couldn't revive an embalmed body. No, God does. So they're downstairs. I heard the guy interviewed, and they said, well, what was it like afterward? And he said, well, I was sore. And they said, from being dead? He says, no, from that terrible body rub they gave me trying to put life back in me. You know, sometimes we actually make people sore trying to put life in them. You see, God was putting life in them. God nearly didn't need the help. There are times we're trying to help God, and that is, I remember, and some of you have heard me tell this, for the first 20 years that I was in ministry, I did some really great godly things. I mean, I did. Not bragging, I'm just reporting the facts. I mean, people wrote about me, talked about me. Well, if they write about you, believe me, people will talk about you. And if people talk about you, then they write about you again. It's not nearly as nice as the first time. Okay. And so I was playing little Jack Horner sitting in the corner one day, and I was telling God just what a good boy I am. And the Holy Spirit came all over me and said, you're right, you've done some great, wonderful things in my name. Unfortunately, while they were great and they were godly things that needed done, they weren't the great godly things I had assigned to you. Well, that sounds like you did well, but not well done, my good and unfaithful servant. To me, that's what I heard. I heard, there is something wrong with me. You see? And that's when I found out there were departments in the body of Christ. I mean, duh, the scripture says everybody's not this and everybody's not that, doesn't not? I mean, it tells us that. But we all think we're the same thing. You know? And then you hear people say, well, they're not going to make me into a little clone. Now I'm going to be just like them. Duh. I'm trying to help your brain just think from a little different facets. Because there are some people here tonight that I know, because the Holy Spirit has told me, that there are going to be little lights coming on. Little lights just coming on here and there. There's going to be encouragement. There's going to be not as big a failure as I thought I was. Now, if you leave here thinking I'm a bigger failure than I thought I was, no, I'm a bigger failure than I thought I was, because I didn't deliver the message right. Okay, so the gardener has a job to do. Let the gardener do his job. Can you see, can you imagine going down and you've got all these grapevines out there because you like grapes? Now, I like grapes. Now, let me ask my wife a second. What is jelly? She just said grape. That's right. Anything that's not grape is imitation. And it could be strawberry, it could be raspberry, it could be anything. It could be apple. But in my book, if it isn't grape, it's not jelly. Okay? David knows that's true. He's heard this at our dinner table. But you see, then you got the little grapes out there, and all this is supposed to be happening. You're supposed to be bearing fruit. And I'll get around to bearing fruit someday. Right now I gotta clean myself up. I gotta dress my branch. And the gardener comes along, and there's your little branch out there, and there's a soft wind blowing through your little branch. And the gardener reaches out to kind of clean off the branch, and you go, it's my branch. I got to clean my branch. No, it's your branch. I gave everything to you, Lord, but give me back my branch. Because I want to show you how good I am for you, so I'm going to do your job. I can't do that. We've got a job to do, and we've not gotten it done. We've got a culture war going on because we've not done our job. Because we've been so busy getting ourselves spruced up, cleaned up, looking so good, that we forgot to work. What Terry teaches is the work. He teaches you all the time the work. I've never heard anybody teach the work as much and it's just over and over again, coming at it from different angles to motivate branches to bear fruit. That's really what people in ministry do. Sheep have sheep. Okay? And the people in the ministry help to perfect them, to prepare them for what? The function, the work. Did you know that disease destroys? Some of you may have disease in your bodies right now. I know you do. Do you know that cancer is in your body at least 8 years before you ever find out it's there? Because it's so small? That's what the medical people say. You know what I say? In Jesus' name, there will be no cancer cell in my body. I bind that because it's just a name, and the name of Jesus is above every name.
Amen.
See? Now, I can talk to you about that, but Terry does such a good job on that, there's no reason for me to. But disease destroys. That's its purpose. Why does the enemy come? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Disease prevents a plant from fulfilling its purpose, does it not? Did you ever have a plant just wither up and die on you? A diseased plant cannot bear fruit. Just can't do it. It may start to produce healthy fruit, but the fruit will either wither and fall off before harvest, or if the fruit lasts until harvest, it will be discarded as unwholesome. So we can't have that disease in there. And we've got to trust God. When the Father comes along and cleans our little branches, we got to go, goody, 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 clean me up, clean me up, clean me up. I want to bear good fruit. I want to bear good fruit. I want to bear good fruit for your glory, for the glory of the vine, not the branch. There's the other thing. Pride. Look at me. I am just so good. When I get up in the morning, I have to go in front of a mirror and just kiss the image. That's not what God's looking for. When you get up, do you wake up in the morning and find yourself singing hymns? Singing songs of praise? Do you ever wake up in the morning just talking in your heavenly language? Has that ever happened to you? That's the way we're supposed to wake up. It's like, thank you God, it's morning, not, oh God, it's morning. It's with the joy of the Lord. And that's what living on the vine brings. Living on the vine gives you such confidence that you're a part of something. They say the greatest need for teenagers. We were all teenagers once. Even I can remember back that far. We were all teenagers once. And teenagers want to belong and need to belong. Do you know that most people accept Christ before they're 21? And we're out there just beating up on some of these old folks. Got to get you before you go. Let me tell you, some of those old folks, some of those young folks suddenly get their lives turned around and see the power that they could have had and would have had they done what they should have done back then in their lives. They'll come to the Lord. See, Jesus used attention steps. Believe me, after you run a legion of demons out of somebody, and then everybody gets the entertainment of watching all those pigs and hogs jump into the water and drown. Yeah, you know, I mean, seriously, that's what he did. What was that?
That's our take.
Oh, that's your take. Okay. Well, I'll just wait for you to flip it over. And so people, you've got to get people's attention. Jesus got people's attention by doing miracles. I was with a man just three, 4 weeks ago, that before he spoke, he said, anybody here sick? Come here. After a few people got healed and they sat down, he had everybody's attention. You see? He had everybody. Everybody's going to listen to this guy. Why? Results. Results. The scripture's clear that if we ask and do not doubt in our hearts. And do not doubt in our hearts. But sometimes, if we don't let the gardener come along and prune a little thing out, what we go is, okay, I prayed, now let me see if they're healed. Let me see if it's different. Well, if you're still relying on your five senses, you're going to be praying for a long time and see no results. Because that's not faith. That's just natural stuff. I'm just genuinely shocked if I pray for somebody and they don't get healed. Genuinely shocked. Do you live a fasted life? You know, every now and then, have you ever had a plant just turn yellow in its flower pot and the leaves start falling off? And you went to somebody who was an expert in plants and they said, you watered it too much. Do you know, fasting one day a week will add 5 to 10 years to your life? Well, I don't want to live 5 or 10 more years. Of course, until the day it's going to happen. And then it's like, well, I changed my mind. I want to go be with the Lord. Well, so do I. And it would be, as Paul said, wouldn't it be a lot nicer to be with the Lord right now than to be here? But you see, if I want to leave one day sooner than I'm supposed to, I'm rebellious. Because there are people who will never receive because I didn't take the message. I didn't give them an opportunity to accept it or reject it. Because that's all you do. You just give them the opportunity to accept or reject. But if I'm out of sync, if I'm going, well, I'll just go ahead and eat this or do that or whatever. I'm going to die early, but who cares? I'll be with the Lord. What that says is it's all about me, isn't it? No, it's all about thee, Lord. Not about me. It's all about thee. We've got to live on the vine. Living on the vine, the Jesus vine, is the only way I can remain healthy as a believer and an acceptor of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's the only way. Living on the vine is known as abiding. Now, the NIV says, it says abide in KJV, says remain in the NIV. What does the Greek say about that word? Did you ever look that word up in the Greek? This is what the Greek says. The word for abide or remain is meno, M-E-N-O. It means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Well, you wouldn't think that word would be in there with abide or remain, would you? Expectancy. Abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand. Here's a word we don't use much anymore. Tarry for. That's not tarrying for the Holy Ghost and spending 48 years at some altar going, oh, please give me the Holy Ghost. Give me a break. There's nothing in the Word that says that's the way you do that. It says ask and you'll receive. The only reason you don't think you've received is because you're still relying on you instead of just letting the Spirit do its work. Much fruit. Much fruit is something we need to have. If we are doing that, if we're staying, remaining, expecting, do you expect? How many people do you expect to come to the Lord because of what you tell them in the next 5 days? Do you get up every day saying, oh boy, it's a new day. People are going to be accepting Jesus because of what I say today. Or do you get up going, oh boy, another day. Well, I can't wait till Wednesday. We'll all get together again. I can shout. Tell Jesus how much I love Him. And go home. And get up on the next morning and go, oh boy, I can't wait till Friday night when Carrie talks to us again. You see, expectancy. Bearing much fruit. How excited do you get? Have you ever brought anybody to the Lord? Did that excite you? It's like, oh, well, this is taste of cake. You know, suddenly you think you brought 100,000 people. Huh? I mean, I'm invincible. The Word is telling the truth. Nothing can stop me. Well, it wasn't you in the first place. You just delivered the message. They accepted because the Father drew them. Now you're their parent, however. You just birthed. You know how many spiritual abortions there are in the world every day? In this land, full of Christians, spiritual abortions, people that are just waiting. Now listen to what I talk about when I say much fruit here. Jesus said in verse 6 of chapter 15, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. I have read that so many times. If a man remains in me and I in him, he might bear much fruit. He could from time to time. No, he says he will bear much fruit. We are measuring ourselves by the wrong stick. We are fruit bearers. We are so busy bearing our cross because we've got that part. So we don't have time to bear fruit because we're fighting off disease, we're fighting off attitude, we're fighting off all this negative stuff. And we've forgotten to bear fruit. Oh, Brother Ron, I'd bear fruit, but you just don't know how heavy my cross is. Well, then let God come alongside you and take your care because He cares for you. He cares for you. The promise is that if you remain in Him, you will bear much fruit. It's not might, could, it is you will. So how do you bear fruit? You just get closer to the vine. You make sure that the gardener comes along and pulls those things away so your branches grow and get healthy. But you stay right there on that vine, and what happens? A branch bears fruit. How do I know my faithfulness and standing in the kingdom, I will bear much fruit? No, Jesus did not say, I must be perfect if I remain in Him. He did say the Father, the gardener, would clean or prune me, not I, but the gardener. Not I, the gardener would do that. Well, I have to be willing. I don't want to be pulling the branch back or chew my branch off the vine and go flopping around in the wind to get away somewhere. You know, have you ever just tried to chew your branch off the vine? It's a strange picture, isn't it? Jesus said, I would bear much fruit and in the doing do what? Bring glory to the Father. Not to me. Bring glory to the Father. You're a branch of the vine, the Jesus vine. I'm a branch of the vine, the Jesus vine. The Father wants to keep us clean and healthy because sick branches, diseased branches, don't bear fruit. We find ourselves always asking for the things rather than building the kingdom. And many times, believers are not much different than the person who's never accepted Christ is going, well, when I get all this taken care of, then I will come to Christ. And we're saying, okay, now we're in Christ, and when we get the rest of everything perfect, how is it different? We are branches on the Jesus vine. Do you need healing? Let it happen. Let it happen. Now, yes, you can speak to yourself, and you can say, body, as I did my heart after the heart attack, and said, heart, you will beat properly. I'd wake up in the night, man, you talk about tachycardia. I mean, if there had been a meter on me, it would have been clear pegged on the red line end. And I would speak to my body, and I'd say, in Jesus' name, you will beat 60 beats a minute. And within 10 seconds, my heart was going, dum, 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 dum. Because that's my normal heartbeat, is 60 beats a minute. They took me to the hospital one time in an ambulance, and my heartbeat was 90-some beats a minute. And they took a look at my age, and they said, well, he's fine. I said, fine. They said, yeah, your heartbeat's like 90-some beats a minute. I said, my normal heartbeat's 60-some beats. Oh, they said, we need to do some stuff. Learn to be a branch on the vine. That's really what Terry is teaching you, is how to function as a branch. To receive nourishment, to receive cleaning, that pruning, not to rip you off the vine. See, the devil will come to you and say, you know, God wants to just cut you off the vine and burn you up. John chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus came not into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, what? Us? To save the world. We go out evangelizing. You're going to hell. Why, you got a terrible life, you wretch. Were you ever a miserable wretch? When you were a miserable wretch, did you know you were a miserable wretch? That's not the good news. The good news is you don't have to be sick, busted, and disgusted because Jesus, the vine, came. And you can be a part of the vine, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not even going to get to the love part because you all go to sleep on it. You know, because I'm not up here screaming tonight. I'm just up here saying, please hear what I'm saying. Have you heard anything that turned a light on? I know some of you have, but just go ahead and admit it. You know, just shake your head or say amen or yes or hallelujah or something. Huh?
All of the above.
All of the above. Okay. Now, there are some people here who are in real grief. Now, I'm not talking about mourning. No, I'm not talking about mourning. Mourning is a natural thing. We mourn with those who mourn. We laugh with those who laugh. We weep with those. But grief, you know, a person told a friend of mine who is in ministry, who was counseling with them because they're in, they've gone beyond mourning. They're in real deep grief. And the person said, well, what would you say when the person said to me, you couldn't understand my grief. It's so bad. And I said, I told him that's right. Because I never entertained that demon. I don't say that to be judgmental. I say that to tell you there are some people here you're grieving over things that happened 30 years ago in your life that you have never, ever let go of. So right this very minute, in the name of Jesus, now you have to cooperate with me here. Don't you go hold them back. Don't you pull your branch back. Don't you tuck your leaves under one another. Uh-uh. No, I'm here to root that puppy out. It's coming out. David, when I pray these prayers, do they come out?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Now, if you want to come up here and have me pray for you, I'm happy to do that. You can stay right where you are. Because, you know, you might want to get rid of grief, but you're not ready to get rid of pride yet. Not trying to back you into a corner here. Do you know you can even have fun running demons off? You know that? You can just relax. You know why? Because they don't have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in them. But there are several people here, at least three people here, who are in deep grief over things years ago. Now, there may be something. I'm just saying that God's talked to me about some people who are in deep grief over things years ago. And some of these things, some of us might not think are that serious, but they are to them. You see what I'm saying? They are to them. It's like when a teenager comes to you and says, oh, my life is ruined. We broke up. They don't love me. And it's, you know, and you're going, oh, you'll get over it. No. To them, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. You have to meet them where they are. It's the worst thing that ever happened to them. So I'm not belittling anybody, but I'm saying, give this up, because I'm going to pronounce in Jesus' name that it is bound from you. And when you know it's gone, you need to be telling some of us. Because that brings glory to God. It doesn't bring any glory to me. All it shows is I'm a pipeline that's willing to open the valve. That's it. So in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of grief that is harassed, that you cannot harass them anymore. They are free by the power of the name of Jesus, the name above all names. You are bound from these people and you are loosed from them. Go from them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you're free. Now there's something else I need to do. Heavenly Father, we praise and worship you. We thank you, Father. We worship you that we can come boldly to your throne and use the name of Jesus to do this. And now, Heavenly Father, we say, send the spirit of joy into these same people that the spirit of grief just left. Send in the spirit of joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, why did I do that? Because if that spirit of grief comes back and finds you've been all cleaned up and nothing's there to take its place, it's going to go get seven of its friends, come back, and you think it was bad before. But it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. Give it up. There's somebody here right now that's worried about... worried about a health condition. You're not talking to anybody about it. But you're worried about it. Now, you know what the word worry means? The word worry means you keep... You know, you've seen the Muslims with their worry beads, they run through their hands. that you just keep twisting it and twisting it and twisting it and twisting it, and it's just on your mind, on your mind, on your mind, on your mind. It's there. Now, it might not be in the front all the time, but it's back there. And it's just building a root and building a root and building a root. And you know, for those of you who need scientific proof, do you know that whatever you spend your time thinking on, your brain builds superhighways along that line? That's why pornography is what it is, because it ties into an appetite. And anything that ties into an appetite gets even more emphasis on doing that. And so it's harder for people to break from it because their brain has actually built highways to that. But it can happen with anything. It can happen with grief. It can happen with just being obsessed with somebody. You know, it's like, oh man, that person would just be the perfect person for me. Oh, that person just got to be in my life. The person that's got to be in your life is Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. Now I know that because I'm married to a woman who told me she didn't love me, but she was marrying me because God said so, and it was 18 months before she told me she loved me. And there is no better wife in the world than this woman. No better. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You see, you are bearing fruit. You're either bearing ungodly fruit that is rotting and is not good for harvest. I have to tell you something. I've got to tell you this. Do you know that when you harvest fruit, the scripture says the word used there is to pluck. Now, if you're under an apple tree, boy Terry, this is where we started. Apple trees. When you told me what God had told me 24 hours before, he'd never met me. And he told me what God had told him about me, and God had told me 24 hours before. I'd never met Terry before. And there he is. I come out of the bathroom at our house, and there's Terry standing in my room right there talking to Amanda. And we get to talking, and we had quite a little visit. And then he said, you know what God just showed me? And it was exactly what God had told me 24 hours before. Now, I'm not going to get into the apple tree that the neighbor wouldn't let you in when you were a kid, and so those were the best apples in the neighborhood. We're not going to get into that. If you have an apple tree in your yard and you go out to pluck an apple, are you going to just pick any apple on the tree? No, you're going to pick the one that you identify as ready to pluck, aren't you? That's why everybody you talk to about Jesus is not ready for harvest. So you've got to go to the Father and you've got to pray that you will be shown the right person to pluck from the world and bring into the kingdom. If you just go out there willy-nilly, well, that's nice, that's a good godly thing, but it's not the person you were assigned to on the 25th of February. We're talking tomorrow now. 2008. There is somebody that you're assigned to harvest. But if you're busy cleaning your own branch instead of letting the gardener do it, you will miss that person. You pray and you watch what happens. You will start plucking people from the world into the kingdom. Because they're ready. And you can pass apples on a tree and you go, you know, a couple more days. Huh? A couple more days. Same with tomatoes, right? You got a tomato vine and you look, okay, well, that is Friday's tomato. This is Wednesday. I'll pick this one. But by Friday, I'll have that on my sandwich or in my salad. Huh? Isn't that right? Same way with people. You know, some people have to be really miserable before you can pluck them. But boy, when they are picked, Jesus said that he selected. The word is not only chose, but selected. Isn't that what you do? You go out and you select the one that's ready for harvest. That's what we are to do. Go select the ones that are ready. You see, those people who were in grief were ready for harvest. You say, well, what about me? I got this, I got that. I don't know, if the Lord tells me to do something, I'll do it. You say, well, I'm ready. Well, maybe you are. Maybe I'm not the one that's supposed to take care of that. Maybe somebody else is. I don't think I'm the be-all, end-all. I think y'all and we together are, because we're the body of Christ. He's the true vine. We're the branches. We bear fruit. The kingdom is built. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, given to you. What did He say? If you stay attached to the vine, you will bear fruit. You won't even have to wonder where to go. Now you can pray, Lord, let me not be blind, let me see Him. Give me the right words to say. Let me encourage them into what the kingdom's like. But harvest. Bear fruit. And that's my message today. Bear fruit.